This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
U.S. kills an Iranian general. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. It is Friday, January 3rd. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard, who is said to be planning attacks on Americans, has been killed by an airstrike in Iraq.
Lawmakers on Capitol Hill are responding to the airstrike, mostly along party lines. We'll have reaction.
As expected, the FDA is banning mint and fruit-flavored products used in e-cigarettes. However, menthol and tobacco are exempted.
And how the airlines have found a new way to punish customers, this time by rewriting the rules for frequent flyers.
Well, the biggest changes come with elite status qualification. If you're a frequent traveler, you know, your silver, gold, platinum, and what counts is how much you spend with the airline, not how far you fly with the airline.
Scott McCartney at the Wall Street Journal on new rules for frequent flyer programs. A U.S. airstrike has killed the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Major General Qasem Soleimani. The Defense Department says President Trump ordered the strike because the general was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Iran's supreme leader declared 3 days of mourning for Mr. Soleimani's death and warned that a hard revenge awaits criminals. The Iranian foreign minister called the strike an act of international terrorism. Also killed was Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas, the top Iraqi paramilitary commander. He was deputy leader of the Popular Mobilization Forces, an umbrella group that led the attack earlier this week against the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. Meanwhile, the State Department earlier today urged U.S. citizens to depart Iraq immediately. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The strike that killed General Soleimani was the second major military operation President Trump has ordered in the Middle East in recent months. In October, you'll recall, he green-lighted a raid in Syria that killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill offered quick reaction to the strike, predictably along party lines. New Jersey Democrat Senator Cory Booker, who's also running for president, spoke with ABC News.
We have a president that's made that area more unstable, more dangerous, who has really overseen with his foreign policy by tweet and by impulse, often against his very generals in the Middle East.
Florida Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz was on Fox News.
The president was very clear that if there was harm to Americans, that he would respond not with proportionate response, but with overwhelming force. And that is what we've seen occur here.
Connecticut Democrat Senator Chris Murphy took to Twitter to ask, did America just assassinate, without any congressional authorization, the second most powerful person in Iran? Nebraska Republican Senator Ben Sasse says President Trump did not need congressional authorization. He tweeted, General Soleimani has killed hundreds of Americans and was actively plotting more. This commander-in-chief has an obligation to defend America by killing this bastard. The U.S. airstrike has sent U.S. stock index futures lower. Also, futures contracts on the Nikkei 225 stock average tumbled 1.5% in Chicago as the yen strengthened against the dollar. Japan's stock market remained shut for the New Year holidays, while other markets in Asia were open. Oil spiked, with futures in New York and London surging more than 4%. Gold also spiked. Bloomberg News quoted Stephen Innes, chief Asia market strategist at AxiTrader, who wrote, quote, "This is more than just bloodying Iran's nose. This is an aggressive show of force and an outright provocation that could trigger another Middle East war." Meanwhile, the S&P 500 index climbed 27 points to a fresh record yesterday, lifted by tech shares, including Apple and Alphabet, which is the parent of Google. The index was already up 29% to close out 2019. In addition to the Middle East situation, Bloomberg says investors are also keeping an eye on
geopolitical tension surrounding North Korea, where Kim Jong-un said he was no longer bound by his pledge to halt major missile tests and would soon debut a, quote, new strategic weapon. It's 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for spending time with us on a busy Friday for news. The Food and Drug Administration has announced it will ban the sale of fruit and mint-flavored e-cigarette cartridges. The FDA said yesterday it would block the sale of fruit and mint flavors in cartridge-based e-cigarettes popular with young people, but wouldn't apply the restriction to tank vaping systems commonly found at vape shops. Meanwhile, an emerging voting bloc could swing key states in the November elections, and that's vapers. Reporter Ryan Lovelace at the Washington Times says anti-regulatory advocates at Americans for Tax Reform think the vaping voting bloc will be larger than Donald Trump's 2016 margin of victory in the battleground states that handed him the Electoral College win. Ryan, what are you hearing?
There's a contingent of conservatives that are concerned about new regulations possibly coming down the pike to face e-cigarette users, so-called vapers. And there's a handful of battleground states in particular where they think this is going to play. And by that they mean they think the number of single-issue voters that are vapers, that are vaping on that one issue, is larger than the contingent of voters that swung the election in 2016 in a handful of states, namely Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And so really, depending on what the Trump administration does next and how the different candidates message this going into the coming year, it could really have an effect on a number of key battleground states that the Trump administration needs, that President Trump needs to win the Electoral College.
Wow. Where's this playing out, Ryan?
Well, right now what we're seeing is the FDA is considering new regulation. They're supposedly going to take action within the month, and what they're talking about doing is doing a ban on flavored cigarettes, e-cigarettes and that sort of a thing. Now, they're specifically aiming it toward trying to prevent younger folks from using it, people under the age of 18, high school students from using it, although there already have been some measures taken to raise the usage age. In the most recent appropriations package that went through right at the end of the year, you now have to be 21. They raised the age that way in that legislation. So this is all part and parcel with that. And the fight is right now over whether or not there's going to be additional regulation and whether or not this will actually be finalized and what it looks like.
Are there any regulations that conservatives could actually live with regards to vaping?
I think most of them are on board with raising the age for younger voters. But since that's been accomplished at this point, I think most of the conservatives that are active and mobilized about this issue are really concerned about any new steps. One of the things they say most frequently in talking to these folks, like the folks at Americans for Tax Reform, is that this is a lifestyle issue. It's not just an issue that's on the periphery, a hobby, something that's important. This is one of those issues that gets to the core of who a person is, that makes those voters feel like they're personally being attacked as opposed to something they care about is.
Well, we're speaking with Ryan Lovelace, political reporter at the Washington Times. This piece is called Vapor Voters Are Strong and Angry Enough to Sway Election. How many states are involved here? Is it pretty much every swing state?
It is. And, you know, in polling done for the vaping industry, they looked at 17 states. So they looked at a broad coalition, and they really singled out a handful of Michigan, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, we've already seen in recent years, have a sizable voting vaping contingent. Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, who's up for re-election again soon, in 2016 he won, defeating Russ Feingold, the incumbent, and he outperformed President Trump by just about 70,000 votes, and he won by nearly 100,000 votes over an incumbent, and there's 200,000 adult vapers. So while the math gets kind of, you know, might be difficult to juggle there, the key is that all these vaping voters, these vape shops that aren't, you know, politically Republican, Democrat, they're more independent, were willing to pay attention and get active, specifically because he had come forward and said, this is something I care about and I'm going to stand by. And the thought is, among conservatives, that it could be another animating issue in 2020 unless conservatives and Republicans sort of shoot themselves in the foot on this.
Wow. So how might the Trump campaign play this? Because even if there are conservatives who are behind a single issue like vaping, those conservatives are not going to turn and say support a Biden or a Sanders, right? Might they just sit it out? And if so, how does the Trump campaign play that?
That's exactly right. They would just sit it out. And there's been some concern internally in the Trump campaign about that. We've heard previously campaign manager Brad Parscale had privately warned Mr. Trump about all of this and sort of told the president, you know, back when they were considering this in the fall of 2019, different regulation about the e-cigarette industry, you know, you risk turning off a number of voters that are in your corner, but they're not otherwise motivated to come out. And that was something that seemed to kind of delay what's going on now, this sudden speed towards regulation last year. And it's really something where there's a whole kind of contingent of voters that they have access to now in the Trump campaign that they may not going forward if they risk turning people off in this way. I think the Trump campaign and President Trump have attempted to find a compromise where only certain flavors will be banned. And Mr. Trump has suggested it'll be for a certain period of time. So perhaps there'll be an opportunity in the future to pull some of that back. But the risk in doing some of this is also that it won't hurt the biggest producers of electronic cigarettes, but rather some of these smaller vape shops that really are more small mom and pop type businesses that are right now in their corner, but may not be going forward.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Lovelace, reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, U.S. forces have assassinated Iranian Major General Qasem Soleimani in an airstrike at Baghdad International Airport. An escalation of tensions between Washington and Tehran that's prompting concerns of further violence in the region. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the Pentagon took a decisive defensive action in killing Soleimani, who Esper says was planning to attack U.S. diplomats and service members. Republican Congressman Doug Collins of Georgia spoke with Fox.
His sole job was to just export terrorism throughout the Middle East and do so in Iraq. To be caught right there in Baghdad is appropriate. But it also shows that this president, using our military, our intelligence, our State Department, doesn't draw red lines. He says, no, we're going to act.
Democratic Senator Cory Booker of New Jersey was on ABC.
We see a president that has made folks less safe and has escalated problems at diplomacy.
The U.S. Embassy in Iraq is urging all U.S. citizens to leave the country immediately after Iran and its allies vowed revenge for the killing. Number two, a senior Pentagon official clashed with the White House over its decision to freeze security aid to Ukraine, repeatedly warning that the hold could complicate the administration's ability to distribute the money before a congressionally mandated deadline, according to unredacted emails obtained by an outside group. Beginning in July, Elaine McCusker, the acting Pentagon controller, sent officials at the White House Budget Office emails in which she raised concerns about the legality of the hold on nearly $400 million in aid. Though Pentagon officials' frustrations were previously known, the emails offer a new level of detail about McCusker's concerns. Number three, the FDA says it will bar the sale of fruit and mint-flavored e-cigarette cartridges, placing more pressure on manufacturers already facing a May 12th deadline for federal review of their products. The FDA says it will block the sale of fruit and mint flavors in cartridge-based e-cigarettes popular with young people, but wouldn't apply the restriction to tank vaping systems commonly found at vape shops. Federal officials are framing the decision as a compromise that addresses concerns about youth vaping while not putting vape shops out of business. And ratings for NFL games rose 5% in 2019, making it the most watched season in 3 years. During the regular season, an average of 16.5 million people tuned in to watch NFL games. The NFL's viewership rise comes as NBA TV ratings are down 15% so far this season. That drop has been attributed by the league and its TV partners to a slew of injuries to marquee players.
Wow, that's not just some wiggling. 15% is
that's
significant.
Kind of shocking. It is.
Thank you, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. New year, new rules. Perhaps not surprisingly, they're airline rules, which pretty much makes them maddening. United Airlines is changing how you earn top-tier elite status in its frequent flyer program, making money more important than miles and top status harder to achieve. Scott McCartney, travel writer at the Wall Street Journal, says other airlines are starting to copy the sometimes Byzantine rules. Scott, what changes are we looking at?
Well, the biggest changes come with elite status qualification. If you're a frequent traveler, you know, you're silver, gold, platinum, premium, you know, there's a million different words for it at different levels. And United is the first to make a big move in this, but others are already starting to follow, it seems. And so what happens is, and this is a little bit of an escalation of a trend that began a few years ago, that what counts is how much you spend with the airline, not how far you fly with the airline. So with its elite status qualification, United has taken miles out completely starting this year, and it will solely be based on how much you spend and how many flights you take, but it doesn't matter how far the flights go. And they think this is going to, and they've raised the spending requirements for each category, and so they think this is going to thin out the ranks some and reward the people that spend the most money with the company and sort of punish the people who fly long distances on cheap tickets and get status for not much investment.
Wow. What's behind this, Scott?
I think it's, first off, the upper ranks of the frequent flyer programs have gotten overcrowded. And so they need to find a way to thin out the ranks. It's very hard for, even if you're at the very top level, to get an upgrade. An upgrade is one of the biggest perks that drives loyalty. Now, that's a lot of that is the airline's fault, not only because of the overcrowding in the ranks, but also because they're trying to sell those seats, and they'll sell them to somebody for a $100 fee rather than give it to a frequent flyer who's spending tens of thousands of dollars each year with the airline. But what we've seen is consolidation in the industry has really increased the population in the upper ranks of the programs, and two reasons. One is you just got more people, and two is they can pool their business easier on one carrier. So instead of having to fly, Northwest and United from time to time or something, you just consolidate it all into United or into Delta.
Scott McCartney, travel columnist at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, January 3rd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka on a busy news morning. Some of our top stories and headlines. A U.S. airstrike has killed an Iranian military leader who was said to be planning attacks on Americans. The FDA banning the sale of fruit and mint-flavored e-cigarette cartridges. U-Haul has announced it will no longer hire people who use nicotine. Julian Castro is the latest Democrat to drop out of the presidential race. Former Bengals coach Sam Weish has died from cancer at 74. Cowboys reportedly parting ways with Jason Garrett. And the specific web surfing at work that can relieve stress. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Many local government workers, including teachers, continue to pay relatively high retirement plan costs, while fees in corporate-based retirement plans are often lower and have been falling for years. Part of the reason is that unions and other groups get income from endorsements of investment products and services, often at the expense of municipal employees. Ann Turgeson, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, has done some investigative work and is here with an in-depth look at what's happening. Ann, what have you found?
What we're finding is that the fees that teachers pay tend to be fairly high. In a lot of cases, teachers are buying annuities in their 401k, 403b plans, sorry. And, we were sort of asking the question as to, why are these fees so high? And it's a complicated answer, but one of the reasons why, there's several kind of contributing factors, but one of them is that there isn't a lot of oversight on the part of school districts who sponsor these 403b plans the way there is in the 401k world, where the employers really have a lot of active oversight onto the plans. They, the employers in 401ks really try hard to vet the investment options, and they have an enormous amount of potential legal liability if participants feel that they aren't being served well. Anyway, in the 403b world, that same obligation on the part of the employer to vet the plan doesn't exist to the same extent. We were finding also that there are other players in that market that are sort of acting in ways that support higher fee products. For example, teachers unions and organizations that represent municipal government employees in some cases were receiving endorsement payments from investment providers. In return, they were receiving payments in return for recommending those providers, many of whom have high-cost products.
Yeah, I was surprised by that because some of them are getting north of 3%, right? A lot of 401ks. These days, if you pick a standard, maybe an index fund or something, it's less than 1%.
Exactly. I mean, I was just looking at a very large 401k plan, and they're offering index funds for 8 basis points. Which is practically free. So that in contrast, a lot of these teachers' plans, the teachers aren't. There's so many providers that are offering products through a lot of these plans that there really are no economies of scale, and the fees are quite high. I mean, like you said, in some cases, the annuities being offered can have fees as high as 3%.
Wow. I'm speaking with Ann Turgeson, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. She's got a story entitled, Teachers Pay High Fees for Retirement Funds. Unions are partly to blame. You pointed out, too, that 403B plans are not subject to that 401k rule that says along the lines of that, that you have to act in the best interest of the investor.
Right.
Client,
so that's a complicated area, but in general, the responsibility that school districts who sponsor 403B plans have, the legal responsibility they have for these plans is lower than in the case of 401ks. And so I think, that's kind of at the root of a lot of the problems that exist in this world. There's no single actor that has a lot of legal responsibility that is overseeing these plans on behalf of teachers. So it's a little bit like the Wild West.
Any teachers say they feel they're getting screwed because of this or just losing out on tons of money?
Right. So, I think, teachers like workers everywhere, a lot of them are busy. They're not so interested in the various ins and outs of investing. And so a lot of people aren't really that aware of the cost of the investments that they're using. But those who are aware, uniformly say that they had thought that their plan sponsor was looking out for their best interest. They assumed that the investment options being offered to them were the best available. And then as they got more educated, they realized that that wasn't the case at all. So they were, in many cases, they were disillusioned.
Yeah. How widespread is this?
It's very widespread. I mean, we worked on this story and another one for months, and I looked at a huge number of plans, school district plans, certainly in the New York area and across the country, and many of them offer multiple vendors, a dozen, maybe two dozen, maybe even more, and the list of the menu is dominated by high-cost providers, a lot of insurance company offerings.
Thanks, Ann Turgeson, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know that AirPods were a popular holiday gift, but if Santa brought a pair of the expensive earbuds to one of your kids, you might want to keep a close eye on which part of the body they're going into. This after a Georgia mom shared an X-ray photo showing the new location of the AirPods her 7-year-old son received for Christmas, his stomach. Kira Stroud says her son swallowed one of the pods accidentally after he told his mother he had been holding it in his mouth. Stroud said that doctors decided to leave the AirPod where it was and told her it will pass through his body naturally.
Ooh.
Yeah, the mother said her son will now be using wired headsets until he gets a little bit older.
Wow.
Yeah.
7 years old?
Yes.
With AirPods?
Yes. Which I mean,
not, you know, an investment I would make.
Yeah, I mean, you and I barely would, you know, you and I have made that investment, but yep. You know, we went into it sort of tiptoeing into it.
Boy.
You know, not wanting to commit that kind of money to something where bad things like this can happen, right?
Man.
There's no wires. They get lost easily. They get broken easily. And certainly putting them in their mouth, not recommended.
All right. So at $159 for the cheaper AirPods.
For the starter set.
For the starter set.
Yes.
and they will, this one will pass through his system naturally.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're combing through whatever comes out to find
it
and recover it to see if it works?
Well, it is, you know, white. I mean, so it might stand out against everything else.
Right.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that won't come to that for his mom.
Okay.
I'm hoping that, you know, it's white, it will stand out, it will be spotted easily, and then they will move on with their lives.
Good enough. You know, we did this story a couple of months ago on how desperate people are to recover these things when they drop them.
Yes.
I just got a pair. The high school kids I coach got me them as a gift.
Right.
And when I drop them, you know, they bounce worse than footballs because of their shape. You
never
know where they're going to land, and they're small.
Yes.
And you can't just stick your foot out to try to block them because you could crush them if you step on them.
Right.
They're dicey.
Yeah, we've gotten ourselves into a very sticky situation here. And just when we think, Gordon, that we've seen all the disgusting behavior we can on an airline flight, someone else says, "Hold my $9 beer," and takes it a barefooted step further. The latest indignity for flyers comes from a new video showing a Delta passenger using the in-flight touchscreen with her bare feet. The 35-second clip shared Wednesday on Twitter by a man named Eric Alvera shows the woman swiping away on the plane's media screen with her toes. Alvera commented that he flies a lot and this is the most disgusting thing he's ever seen. Twitter users appeared to largely agree with him. One tweeted back, "OMG, pigs do fly." Another user was impressed with how well the person was able to navigate the touchscreen with just their toes. Others jokingly asked whether the woman actually had arms, to which Alvera replied, "Her arms were just fine, using them to carry her expensive luggage and take snacks from the galley when the flight attendant wasn't around."
Whoa.
that's another faux pas. The video, which was posted on New Year's Day, has been viewed over 2.3 million times.
Wow. So she's a thief also, allegedly.
Yes, and in first class, too. She's in first class.
In first class.
And this is a sort of behavior to expect, perhaps, stereotypically, from someone who's paid that much money for first class.
Wow.
Or maybe we do. I don't know.
Wow.
Depends on how you look at it.
Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. About 4 in 10 Americans make New Year's resolutions each year. Despite that, most of us fail at our resolutions. One reason may be that we don't keep at it for long enough to make it stick. Indeed, you've probably heard that it takes 21 days to make something a habit. The reality is it's likely to take much longer than that. Market Watch put together some things you could do to make your resolution turn into a habit. Number one, practice what's called temptation bundling. Let's say your resolution is to go to the gym, but you don't love doing that. Meanwhile, you do love listening to podcasts. If you only allow yourself to listen to podcasts while at the gym, you're more likely to keep up your resolution to go to the gym. Also, make yourself cheat. One study found that when people aim to do something for 7 days a week, but allow themselves a couple of days off if they couldn't do it, they were more successful than even those who just planned to do it for 5 days. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with three big things you need to know.
Number one, Gordon, Iran is vowing harsh retaliation for a U.S. airstrike near Baghdad's airport that killed Tehran's top general and the architect of its interventions across the Middle East as tensions soar in the wake of the targeted killing. The killing of General Qasem Soleimani marks a major escalation in the standoff between Washington and Iran, which has careened from one crisis to another since President Trump withdrew from the 2015 nuclear deal and imposed crippling sanctions. The U.S. urged its U.S. citizens to leave Iraq immediately. The State Department says the embassy in Baghdad, which was attacked by Iran-backed militiamen and other protesters earlier this week, is closed and all consular services have been suspended. Number two, the daughter of a man critically injured in a machete attack during Hanukkah is pleading with the public to stop the hatred. Joseph Newman was one of five hurt in the December 28th assault at a rabbi's home in Monsey, New York, where Hasidic Jews had gathered to celebrate Hanukkah. Newman's daughter, Nikki Cohen, says her father has been unconscious since the attack and may never speak again.
Please stand up and stop this hatred. It cannot keep going on. We want our kids to go to school and feel safe. We want to go to our synagogues and feel safe. We want to go to groceries and malls and feel safe.
About 100 people were at the rabbi's home when Grafton Thomas allegedly forced his way inside swinging an 18-inch machete. Number three, Navy ships have plucked hundreds of people from beaches and tens of thousands were urged to flee before hot, windy weather worsens Australia's devastating wildfires. More than 200 fires are burning and hundreds of homes have been destroyed. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
It has been a grueling period of time here, obviously, in recent days, and there are some grueling days ahead.
The devastating early start to the summer wildfire season has made this Australia's worst on record. The safest airline in the world, according to airlineratings.com, it's Australia's Qantas for the seventh year in a row. The rankings take into account factors including crash and serious incident records, fleet age, financial position, pilot training and culture. Air New Zealand comes in second, Taiwan's EVA Air is third, Abu Dhabi's based Etihad Airways ranks fourth. Only two U.S. carriers make the top 10, Alaska Airlines and Hawaiian Airlines.
That Alaska made it is somewhat impressive given the weather that those planes have to fly in sometimes.
Absolutely. Yep.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Back at work and stressed, cute baby animal photos may help. The Wall Street Journal says Professor Jennifer Ragsdale, an industrial organizational psychologist at the University of Tulsa, has a research team that aims to prove surfing the internet for baby animal pictures makes you more productive at the office, not less. The journal says her lab has researched whether muscle relaxation and exercise on a stationary bike speed recovery from work stress. Now she's focusing on the thing people actually do when they're supposed to be working, and that's surfing the internet. About 150 people will perform a stressful task, such as editing, while fielding hostile online comments about a coworker. During breaks, subjects will do stress reduction activities before returning to work. A third of them will meditate. A third will likely do puzzles. A third will watch a slideshow of adorableness. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.